Jesus. Even as we were just worshiping at the end there, what I was sensing from the Lord is, and we all know this, but there is healing in His presence. There's healing in His presence. Are we in His presence tonight? Yes, so guess where healing is? Guess where healing is? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Healing is in the presence of the Lord. There's joy in His presence, that fullness of joy. Hallelujah. So we're in His presence. Guess where joy is tonight? Hallelujah. Jesus, we just thank You for all Your promises. We thank You for Your promises, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We receive from You. Whatever you need tonight, just lift up your hands. Say, Lord, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it, Lord. I receive healing. I receive joy. I receive wisdom. We come boldly to Your throne of grace, Father. We thank You, Lord. We receive everything. It's all in Your presence, Lord. It's all in Your presence. We love You so much, Lord. All right, now I just declare by faith healing manifesting in bodies in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, I say right now, pain, stop. Disease, die. Healing, manifest. We speak life. I speak life right now to every body. Even eyes, ears, hearts, lungs, joints. Healing, manifest. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You are the healer. You are the healer, Lord. And so we glorify You. Let's begin to thank Him tonight for that healing. Healing that's in His presence. We love You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We worship You. We worship You. We worship You, Lord. Oh, we worship. We worship You, Lord. We worship You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, You've already done it all. We just receive now. We just receive now. Oh, and we thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Father, I thank You that the enemy cannot steal what You've already given to us unless we let him. So, Father, we just thank You for those things manifesting in our bodies, promised from You to us. You cannot lie. So we receive it now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we give You all the praise and the glory for what You're going to continue to do tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I don't know if you saw me when I was up here. You probably weren't because you're in your own world with the Lord, and that's good, but I get giggly up here. You know, like, hee-hee-hee, because I so enjoy the presence of the Lord. And then He starts moving, and I'm just, like, tickled, you know, like when you're happy about something. So sometimes I have to be like, okay, stop being happy. No, not stop being happy, but just pay attention to the Lord, you know. So tonight, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions throughout the night. Some of them you can answer out loud, but most of them do not. For your own safety. Then you can plead the fifth. Okay. You know, that's not a thing in Canada, right? Pleading the fifth. We all say it, but it's like, it's an American thing. You don't want to incriminate yourself. Isn't that what it is? Yeah. Pleading the fifth? Okay. So anyways, here's a question. You can the first two you can say out loud because, like, they're super easy in general. So, does God still speak to His children? Yes. Yes, He does. Okay. No one said no, right? Okay. How do we know that He still speaks to us? I hear him, but what do we know? There we go. Say it louder, Vlad. The word tells us that He speaks to us, right? So yes, we hear Him, but why do we know that it's okay and right? Because His word says that He speaks to us. The Bible tells me so. So John 10, we're His sheep and we hear His voice. The whole chapter is dedicated to Him being our shepherd and we being His sheep and hearing His voice and not following the voice of a stranger and so on and so forth. So we know that we're supposed to be able to hear His voice, right? Okay, now don't answer any more questions out loud. Do you know personally when God is speaking to you? So you know it's the truth. You know the Word of God says it. You know it's allowed. You know He still does. And most people know that for other people. But do you know personally that He speaks to you? And not just through His Word, although that's a great way and that's a whole different message. But I mean, do you know that He speaks to you personally? And then another question, a follow-up question to that is, what was the last thing that God did speak to you? So yeah, no answering out loud. Okay, how long ago was that? And if you have stopped hearing Him, or it's been a while, or if you've never actually heard Him speak to you, but you know that it's okay, you know the Bible says so, you know as His sheep, you hear His voice, well, how come you're not hearing Him then? And this isn't an age thing, because you can hear God's voice as soon as you're born again. That's the promise. If we're His sheep and He's our shepherd, then we'll hear His voice. Okay. Now the question, and this one you can answer, but no, you don't have to. Okay. Well, I don't want you guys feeling like, you know, bad. Just be thinking about these things. How many people have ever said, I wish I could just sit down with Jesus person in person, face to face, and just talk to Him? You know, and then He can tell me what exactly He wants me to do. Because, you know, there's no book of Barry. There's no book of Lee. I won't say Tim or James because, you know, there are, but we don't want to confuse the issue. The point is there's no book that says, you know, okay, Michelle, this is everything that you're going to do in your life. Barry, this is everything you're going to do in your life. So how many of us have ever said ever, oh, I just wish I could sit down with Jesus in person, talk to Him face to face, and, you know, He can lay it all out for me. Just be, you know. Why is it that we say that? I think it's because we understand that generally in person usually means that things are more clear, doesn't it? Who's ever been in a board meeting or like a work meeting? Yeah, these aren't going to incriminate you. Okay. You haven't. Okay. Now, since COVID, who's been at a Zoom meeting? Okay. So that's not in person, but it's like face to face. Why? Because something is lost in email or text, right? Something is just lost in that. I mean, you can do that most of the time, but every once in a while, you have to be face-to-face with somebody. Okay, all the parents in here, when you're training your kids and teaching them how to clean their room or do their chores or whatever it is they need to do, do you just give them a list and be like, get this done? Or do you actually, in person, show them what to do and how to do it, right? So when you clean a toilet, you don't, you know, leave stains all over. You get it till it's gone. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That in-person interaction usually gets things done better. Even with friendships. I mean, you can have friendships that are online and like we all do social media, but that's not the same as in person, as sitting down, getting to know somebody, you know, figuring out what they like, what they don't like, talking in person, face to face, teaching all the students in here this last couple of years. When it's online teaching, it's really not as good or effective as when you're in-person teaching. I've heard so many parents talk about that. Some kids do really well, very few though. The statistics are that most kids really, really struggled with that online teaching. Mostly because they had to like teach themselves. A lot of that was like, they had to try and figure it out themselves. So in-person generally means more clear, right? Generally means you're gonna understand. The instructions are going to be easier. So that's kind of like our mindset. Now everyone turn to John chapter 16. See, we all know that we can hear God's voice, that it's a promise. We all know that we should be hearing God's voice. But do we actually live there? Do we live in the place where we're hearing his voice? You know, we look at Jesus and we're like, that was Jesus. Jesus knew what the Father was saying all the time. He was listening to his instructions and doing whatever the Father told him to do all the time. And we're like, we know that's possible for us, but do we actually live there? Okay, that's a good question. Now, Jesus in John chapter 16, I really love, I probably read this section from 13 to 17 probably at least a couple hundred times in my life, over the last about 10 years. And it's just because it's like Jesus' last will and testament, if you want to say. Like, that's the last instructions that he's giving his disciples before he's taken away to be crucified. Because in the beginning of chapter 13, it says, on the night of the Passover, the night that he was going to be betrayed, and then he begins to teach them. Okay, and it goes right through until the end of chapter 17. We know because it's all red letters, okay? No, but we do. We know that Jesus gives them all these instructions, and then when he spoke, after he was done that in chapter 18, that's when he goes up to the garden to pray, and then, of course, the soldiers come and get him. Okay, this is the context, okay? Jesus is telling them, by this point, Judas had already left to go and betray him, and now we're over in John 16, 25. Let's read there, and it says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs," okay? "But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." So this just hit me like a ton of bricks right here, this last part when it says, "I will show you plainly of the Father," because he had just said he wasn't going to tell them anything else. So let me get this straight, Jesus. You're sitting in person with the disciples, face to face, the better way to communicate, and you're telling them that right now, this isn't what, how I'm going to be speaking to you from now on. From now on, I'm going to make the Father plain to you, but it's not going to be in person. It's like, what? This makes us feel like everything is backwards here. Because we know this because what happens right after this is Jesus is taken. He's taken to be crucified. There are to be no more in-person talks before the cross. What was Jesus doing here? Why did he say this? What was his goal? See, we know, let's look back a few verses. Same chapter 16, verse 12 and 13. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So we have heard this taught a lot. I mean, if you've been in this church or around this camp at all, you know that in verse 12, when it says, "I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now," we know that's because they didn't have the born-again life in them, and they weren't able to understand things spiritually. Okay, we understand that. But what was Jesus trying to bring home in verse 25 that went beyond that? Jesus was setting up the way in which he would continue to communicate with them after his ascension. So it wasn't just, you can't handle it now. It was, you can't handle it, and even when you can handle it, I'm still not going to speak to you in person. I'm going to speak to you spirit to spirit. So when we ask God, speak to me, you know, Lord, just come down and tell me, just speak to me audibly, let me hear your voice like that. What we're really saying to God is, I know that you've given me the ability to hear spirit to spirit. I know that you've, I know that you have made a way for me to be able to hear your voice every day, but that's not good enough for me. I don't want to be a spiritual son. I want to be a natural son. I want to hear you in the natural, make everything plain to me. Jesus said the way in which he will make it plain to you is after he ascended, which means born again life, spirit to spirit. And we know this is true. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 2, all these verses, I know everybody knows tonight, but these are just good reminders. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're going to start in verse 12 here, and we're going to read through to 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual," right there tells us. Why? Because verse 14, "The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So if you're going to God, if I'm going to God, and listen, I know that part of us is like, Lord, like we would just love to sit down and have a coffee with you, you know. But Jesus is the one that set up the way by which he'd speak to us. And the way by which he speaks to us now is spirit to spirit. So if we're constantly trying to hear him in the natural or have him like interrupt our life or something, when he's already given us his pattern that he speaks spirit to spirit, and that's how things are understood and spiritually discerned, is through our spirit, then it's like we're saying, well, I don't care what you say or how you set it up. I want to hear this way. So we know that we can hear. We know the Bible says that it's okay, you know, that this is the promise. We know that it happens. We know that people hear from God. So why is it then that so many people struggle in this area? So many Christians, and when I say people, I mean Christians, because obviously non-Christians are not hearing from God. He might get a hold of them a different way, but they can't hear him spirit to spirit, the method that he set up. Well, I really believe the biggest reason why is that we have not learned how to like settle ourselves down and get still before him. One of the things God's been doing in our midst with this stillness is just that. He's teaching us how to settle down, how to be still. You know, and by the way, the other thing is, I mean, I talked about this with the youth a bit when we were talking about stillness. You can be still on the outside and be totally not still on the inside. your mind can, and you all know this, right? Your mind can be going, your emotions can be going. You can appear still and not be still. You know, so it's not the appearance of still that we're looking at and looking for. It's on the inside being still. It's that emotion part of you, that mind racing part of you, that like pastor's message this morning, like what are you encumbered by? What are you, you know, fretting over? Okay? These things can be going on. We're going to be having this whole world on the inside of us and really not be still before him. So I believe one of the biggest reasons we're not hearing the way we should and the way it's promised and the way Jesus set it up is because there's too many other things that are distracting us on the inside. What I love that the Lord is doing is bringing a stillness here, because you know that place where we're, you know, where we're really still, everyone knows. Unless your mind is somewhere else, let's just pretend like everyone's in that same place, okay? You know that place where it's like there's this awe and there's like, you know, it, you're completely at rest on the inside and the outside. That's the place where God speaks. And he has us in training in a way that's so easy like that, because that place is the place that you're going to recognize when he does start speaking, or he is already speaking, but when you start hearing him, you're like, oh, I recognize this. I remember this place when we sit in church for 20 minutes in quiet. It's part of the training. And eventually we'll get to this place where we're not going to need 20 minutes of silence to do it. We're going to be out and about, and we're just going to recognize that that's where God is speaking to us, and we're going to be able to minister to other people or do whatever he's telling us to do. I believe we need to stay focused. That's another thing. You know, you can start off really well in times of waiting, and then like 10 minutes and you're like, okay, you know, like I'm done here, right? And it's different every time, because I think sometimes we're more open to do that. You know, we're more open to worship for whatever reason. And so we're more able to sit. And other times we're like, yeah, I'm good after 10 minutes. But a lot of that is just learning how to refocus. Do you know that I know exactly the moment when I start worshiping and when I'm not just singing anymore? Exactly the moment. Guess what? It's not supernatural. It's the second that I take away everything else and I focus on Jesus and begin to sing to him like he's right in front of me. That's it. I don't have to feel it. I just put everything else aside and focus on him. That's the moment. That's the moment that you begin to worship him. That's it. It's really a choice that we have to make. One of the reasons worship is different here is because in that place that he's training us, that place where he speaks to us, we're learning as a corporate group how to flow with him. And it's going to be different because God is not monotonous. He's always on the move, and he's always teaching us and training us. And let me ask you something. If you are constantly with your spouse, always saying the exact same sentence, taking them to the exact same restaurant, do you know what I mean? At what point would you be like, I'm done with this? If for even 1 year, you went to the same restaurant and said the exact same sentence and never said anything else from your heart, never went anywhere else, never expressed any other emotion or any other thought or any other care for them, the spouse would be like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, like it lacks intimacy and closeness. But we have this intimate Lord that wants to be intimate with us. And so that's one of the reasons why he does things differently. So one of the part of the training is, oh, that place where he speaks to me, okay, now I'm hearing this. And now I'm hearing this. And then we just follow his lead. And then we can take it out of here into our everyday life. Another reason is not just the focus and the getting still, but we're too busy. Like, and really, we make our own selves busy. So we're not prioritizing him, or we procrastinate. And, you know, I know that this particular point is like beating a dead horse, because we know it's really just our flesh. And we know we've got to constantly be keeping it crucified is really what it is. But if we don't begin to make changes, then changes aren't going to happen. So if we want to spend more time in prayer, we can't just want it. Good intentions don't do anything. You know, it's great to have those good intentions, but if we actually want change, then we actually have to step into doing things differently, which means if your pattern is this, 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 and that doesn't include time with Jesus, then you got to change this, this, this to have Jesus in there. Because thinking that there's going to be spiritual change in your life when he's not a priority is just not going to happen. And really what it boils down to is we need to have such a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. And I think people make this harder than it needs to be. Okay, think about building a relationship with somebody, like a person. Okay, what do you have to do? Just think about that for a second. Okay, you have to get to know them, spend time with them, right? Okay, relationship building. You know what to do with a person? Do that with God. I mean, it's really not hard. I don't think it's hard. I think it's maybe harder for introverts who only need themselves, but, you know, they have to force themselves when they want to be alone to go and spend time with Jesus. I believe introverts are like that. But, you know, and extroverts have to pull themselves back to go, wait, just settle and chill and, like, spend time with Jesus. But, you know, building a relationship with God doesn't have to be as hard as we make it out to be. I'm going to ask you another question, okay? And it's going to seem funny, but do you like God? Now think about this. I'm not asking if you love him. Of course you love him. You're born again. He's placed that love in us, right? We love him because he first loved us. The question is, do you like God? Because if you don't like him, you will not see the value of spending time with him, just like any relationship. Do you like his word? Do you like how, you know, do you like his statutes? You know, do you agree with the word or say, forget this? Do you like that he is a God that is so faithful and so loyal? Or do you think, man, I don't care about that. I'm good on my own. Seriously, do we like God? Because I think that you're not going to want to build a relationship with someone you don't like. Right? So we get into his, that's why we can get into his presence in the corporate setting and we're sensing his love and we're just like, wow, Jesus, I love you. And then we leave and we're like, yeah, but I don't like you. So I don't need you till next Sunday. Not really. We don't really outwardly say that. But if we like God and we're building a relationship with him, it will not be super hard to continue this relationship outside of the four walls of the church. I have an illustration about relationship. This is often what happens in the church with okay, if we're worshiping or something, we're often being encouraged about the worship. We're often being encouraged about, you know, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that and it's okay to be still and it's okay to do whatever. Do you guys know that all these things are okay? That it's okay to be still, that it's okay to shout, that it's okay to dance, it's okay to raise your hands. Do you know that it's okay to sing loudly and sing quietly and all the things in between? Okay, we say we know that, but this is what it's like. Okay, I'm just going to make up the story, but it could be real. Let's say my dad and I are really close. I think you know that. I'm really close with my mom too, but because the story is about ice cream, it has to be about my dad, okay? Because my whole life, Dad took us for ice cream for medicinal purposes. So every day, or like every once a week, he'd take us for ice cream because it was medicine. Okay, let's say I'm visiting my dad, and we're just, you know, we're good friends. And he's like, okay, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to bring you to this really great ice cream place I just found. And guess what? They have maple walnut there, and I know that because you can't get it in America hardly. It's very hard to find a good maple walnut. He's like, you're going to love this. This maple walnut is so good. Because Canadians really do like maple, everybody. And so he's like, I'm going to take you for some maple walnut ice cream. It's like this home, this family restaurant. You know, they make their own ice cream. And, you know, it's a beautiful day, and they have some tables outside. And so let's go and sit at this table, and, like, we'll open, you know, the umbrella for some shade, but really there's a nice breeze, and we'll just sit, and we'll chat, and we'll just have this wonderful ice cream together. And so we do this, and we go, and we chat a little bit, and then we sit there and, you know, eat our ice cream and whatever, and then we go home. And then Elaine says to me, hey, Jamie, you know when you go out with your dad, and he brings you to this new ice cream place, and he gets you maple walnut ice cream because it's you can't get it in America hardly, and he knows you love it, and it's such a nice day, and he's going to sit down at the table with you, and he's going to, the umbrella will be open, so you're in the shade, and, you know, you're just going to sit there, and you're going to talk with him, and you're going to just, you know, enjoy each other's company. You know that's okay, right? That's weird. And that is what happens in the church. It's okay to have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Yeah, duh. If you don't know that, you're not doing it at home. That's just how it is. And I'm sorry, I get excited. I'm not angry at anyone. What I'm saying is that not really strange? If Elaine were to do that to me, you know, it's okay to have a relationship with your dad and go have an ice cream with him. Well, yeah, I just did it. Like, it's happening. I'm not saying it's wrong also to be encouraged to do something. Of course, God is constantly encouraging us. That's part of what he does with us, because he wants us to come to him every day. Okay, so that's not wrong to be encouraged. What I'm saying is, if you are having a vibrant relationship with the Lord outside of church, part of that will be waiting in his presence. It just will be. When I got on fire for God, no one had to teach me that. I just did it, because I'm there worshiping, and then there'd be moments where I knew I had to be quiet. I didn't need Elaine walking in saying, you know, that's okay. You understand what I'm saying? It's okay to be still. Well, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm in his presence. That's what I'm sensing in that place where he speaks. I'm sensing I'm supposed to be still. There'd be other times I'd be jumping and dancing and shouting. I don't need somebody coming in saying, that's okay to do. No, because my heart was full of praise for the Lord and I was worshiping him. You don't need permission to do things that are biblical and right and spiritual with the Father. That's what the relationship has to be. It has to be alive. It can't be this whole, I'm doing all my things, and you know what I mean? Now I've spent 20 minutes in tongues, and now I've spent 30 minutes in the Word, and now I'm going to worship for 10 minutes, and good, I've done my duty. That's not relationship. It's not wrong to do those things. We should be doing those things. We need to be praying in the Spirit. We need to be praying in English and interceding for people. We need to be, like, in the Word and worshiping and doing all those things, but it shouldn't be by rote. It shouldn't be something that we are kind of, like, trying to fill out a list for. And we know this stuff, and yet we constantly, and when I say we, even me, like, I'll fall into the trap of, oh, man, that whole life part is kind of missing. And then it's to constantly pull yourself back and just say, Lord, I worship you. You know, I'm in your presence and I love you. And it's okay to do the dancing and the shouting unless it's not supposed to be that moment. Then it's okay to be quiet. But, like, we have to start realizing that, like, the way Jesus is speaking to us, that spirit place, it's okay. And in fact, it's more than okay. It's what he wants. He wants us to live there. He doesn't want us to know some abstract thing that he does speak and it's okay to speak, because we often don't hear an audible voice like that. How is he communicating? He set it up. He set it up this way. I'm going to show you later of the Father, not in person, plainly of the Father. He set it up that that's how he would speak to us. And in that place is where the relationship grows. And in that place, as we allow him to grow in the relationship, it's going to be full of life, and it's going to be really starting to be an intimate place, so that you are just how I feel when I'm in that place is I'm just like, God, you're so good. I don't even know how to express it in English. You know, like, it's just so wonderful. And yet even when I enjoy his presence, even though I like God, even though I love him, even though I worship, you know, if I just stop spending time with him, it's the same for me, same for everybody. The relationship suffers, put it like that. If you stop spending time with your spouse, what happens? The relationship suffers. It's not going to go well for you. So the same with the Lord. We say it's a relationship and not a religion, but when we don't feel like it, we fall back on religion and leave the relationship. And what is really happening, and the point of tonight is, God, we know how he speaks to us spirit to spirit, and he really just wants to get us back focused on the relationship part of it with him. Getting back to, this is how God speaks to me. I don't need him in person because he's already speaking to me spirit to spirit. When it's the most natural thing in the world to spend quality, intimate time with the Lord and not feel strange, that's when you're in a place to hear and act like Jesus. So he always heard the Father's voice and did what he said. And you know, part of when everyone's like, well, how did Jesus know to heal that person? Because that place that was open between him and the Father, he understood how to discern that. And that's the same place that he gave to us. He communicates with us spirit to spirit. And as we just grow in that, we'll be able to do just like Jesus did. We'll be able to do the Father's will, because it's where we live and not where we visit. And so we need to live there. I need to live there. I feel like this last about a year, God is, you know, causing me to grow up in some ways I didn't even know I needed. Because, you know, I start worshiping and there's anointing on my life. And you can rely on the anointing. And God's like, no, I want to show you how to find me regardless of your corporate anointing. You know, and so there's more of a hunger and a thirst in me this past year that God's been growing. That's just been incredible. And I know it comes down to relationship. It comes down to, if we want to be used in this revival, we're going to have to really rely on that voice, really rely on that that spirit-to-spirit communication with the Lord and live there. It really is. So it's an encouragement tonight. We know that it's spirit-to-spirit, but really start doing the things of the Spirit so that we can live there. Amen? Now, one of the things that we're going to do, because we're just going to do it, and that's what I sense the Lord was telling me to do, so we're going to do it, is we're going to just be still before the Lord. We're not going to prime the pump. You know what that means? We're not going to worship to get into it. What we're going to do, because when it says in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God, that's not God forcing it upon you. Be still means it's a choice. So it's hard, but it's training. I remember I was pregnant with Michaela. This was September of 2000, and she was born in October, so I was really pregnant. I was leading worship. I was talking about this. I was talking about just being still. And we practiced, and it was at a youth thing. So, my goodness, it was hard on the youth. But they did it, and we were just still in his presence. And some of the instructions, if you want to say it like that, that we need when we're in his presence is try not to be shifting and moving. Try not to be clearing your voice or, you know, exiting the room and everyone can hear the door and blowing your nose or whatever. And I know sometimes that has to happen. So don't get me wrong. This is not legalism. What I'm saying is it takes a lot of self-control to not do all those things and to just say, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the Lord and I'm going to be still before him and just allow him to minister to us spirit to spirit. Because we say it, we believe it. It's the truth. I'm only going to do it for 15 minutes, so it's not going to be super long. And then I'll come back up and close it. But the other thing that you need to know, when you're still before the Lord, Pastor Jim always says this about messages, but it is the same when you're spending time with the Lord. Have a pen and paper ready. Because do not be surprised when you're listening that he speaks to you. If it's a two-way relationship, then he might have some instructions for you. I'm not saying he will. I'm saying have it ready or have your phone ready. That's usually what I do. When God gives me stuff and I'm sitting there, I email myself all these notes and then I send it. And then later I deal with it. So that's fine. I'm not saying you have to use a pen and paper, but as we're still before the Lord, remember, it's not like rocket science and supernatural. It's just you focus on Jesus, you still yourself down, and then you just listen. That's what it is. So that's what we're going to do for the next 15 minutes. Well, that was 15 minutes. Seemed like just a few to me. Isn't it wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord? I just love it. And the more we practice it in terms of just being still before Him, the easier it'll be. Don't condemn yourself if your mind went everywhere. Just keep pulling it back and learning how to sit. It's so wonderful. Also, I want to do a little plug here for speaking in tongues. Learn to fall in love with tongues again. Long, long times of tongues. Because instantly you're in the Spirit. You know, God is so big. There's so many things that He has for us. And so we want it all because we want to be able to represent Him well here on this earth. And I don't know about you, but I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when I get there. I love the Lord so much. I know you do. Why don't you go ahead and stand tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you and we don't take you for granted. I thank you, Lord, that you are training us and teaching us how to build this relationship with you that is vibrant and real and moving and wonderful. And Lord, we just love you and we enjoy you so much, Lord. Father, I'm asking that you'd minister to every heart and every need. And that, Lord, even as we go, just your presence, that the thick presence that we can sense in this place, Lord, just goes with us. And I thank you, Lord, that it's ever increasing every day. That we can have as much of you outside of these walls as we do inside the walls, Lord. Lord, I thank you for who you are. We bless you. We worship you. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.